Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Chapter entitled Devahuti's Lamentation, text number 39. 9. Tenashta loka pavihara. No, it's not that one. Tenashta loka pavihara kula chalendra.
Tenashta loka pavihara kula chalendra.
Dronishvananga saka maruta sobagasu. Siddhair nuto juduni pata shiva swanasu. Re me chiram dana devala lana varuti.
Re me chiram dana devala lana varuti.
Te nashta loka pavihara kula chalendra. Jonishvananga saka maruta sobagasu.
Jonishvananga saka maruta sobagasu.
Siddhair nuto juduni pata shiva swanasu.
Siddhair nuto juduni pata shiva swanasu.
Re me chiram dana devala lana varuti.
Re me chiram dana devala lana varuti.
Tena.
Tena.
By that aeroplane.
By that
aeroplane. Ashtalokapa.
Ashtalokapa.
By the predominating deities of the eight heavenly planets. Bihara.
Bihara.
Pleasure grounds.
Kula
Achala
Indra.
Of the king of the mountains. Meru. Andronishu. In the valleys. Ananga. Of passion. Saka. The companions. Maruta.
With breezes.
Sobagasu.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Siddhai.
By the Siddhas.
By the Siddhas.
Nuta.
Nuta.
Being praised. Juduni. Of the Ganges. Partha.
Of the downfall.
Shivaswanasu.
Shiva
vibrating with auspicious sounds.
Reme,
he enjoyed.
Chiram,
for a long time.
Danadavat,
by Kuvera.
Lalana,
by damsels.
Uruti,
surrounded. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In that aerial mansion, he traveled to the pleasure valleys of Mount Meru, which were rendered all the more beautiful by cool, fragrant, gentle breezes that stimulated passion. In these valleys, the treasurer of the gods, Kuvera, surrounded by beautiful women and praised by the siddhas, generally enjoys pleasure. Karadama Muni, also surrounded by the beautiful damsels and his wife, went there and enjoyed for many, many years. Purport. Kuvera is one of the eight demigods who are in charge of the different directions of the universe. It is said that Indra is in charge of the eastern side of the universe, where the heavenly planet or paradise is situated. Similarly, Agni is in charge of the southeastern portion of the universe. Yama, the demigod who punishes sinners, is in the southern portion. Niruti is in charge of the southwestern part of the universe. Varuna, the demigod in charge of the waters, is in charge of the western portion. Vayu, who controls the air and who has wings to travel in the air, is in charge of the northwestern part of the universe. And Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods, is in charge of the northern part of the universe. All these demigods take pleasure in the valleys of Mount Meru, which is situated somewhere between the sun and the earth. In the aerial mansion, Kardama Muni traveled throughout the eight directions controlled by the different demigods described above. And as the demigods go to Mount Meru, he also went there to enjoy life. When one is surrounded by young, beautiful girls, sex stimulation naturally becomes prominent. Kardama Muni was sexually stimulated and he enjoyed his wife for many, many years in that part of Mount Meru. But his sex indulgence was appraised by many, many siddhas, beings who have attained perfection, because it was intended to produce good progeny for the good of universal affairs. Amagyan, Tumadandashya, Kinanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshurin Malitam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Patantika Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as we said in previous classes, this section of the Bhagavatam is specifically for Grihastha Dharma. Because you cannot leave the material world until you realize you are in the material world. Until you recognize your conditioning and recognize your attachments, you cannot give them up. And you see, we see in the devotional society within ISKCON, you see that sometimes devotees do not recognize their material attachments. They practice devotional service, even sometimes for decades. They go on for a long, long time. But they don't understand what they're attached to. And they're not overcoming the attachment because of neglect. Because if you neglect something, it doesn't necessarily make it go away. Our whole philosophy is to purify your attachment. That is called Yukta Vairagya. That's what Rupa Goswami is teaching us. Nirbandha, Krishna Sambandhe. If something can be used in Krishna's service, then you use it in Krishna's service. And by using it in Krishna's service, it becomes purified. And you become detached. But Nirbandha means if something cannot be used in Krishna's service, do not use it. But sometimes devotees do not recognize what it is they're attached to. And usually it is sex life, which is the subject matter of this section of the Bhagavatam. If you don't recognize you're attached to sex life, and if you don't recognize how attached to sex life you are, you cannot become liberated from the material world. You'll remain shackled or controlled. And you see sometimes, we've seen in the history of our society, sometimes devotees, they practice devotional service for many years, even decades, but they don't recognize that the anarta is still remaining. And then as they get older, they may become socially abnormal. Sometimes we see, like brahmacharis who are misfits, or you can say, like you become eccentric, not socially normal. We can see if someone is properly situated according to vana and ashram, if they're in the right ashram, they will be socially normal. They will not be abnormal or eccentric. Sometimes you see when people are not properly situated, they become a little abnormal in their behaviour and in their attitudes and in their dealing with others, and especially with the opposite sex. Because a brahmachari should be able to deal with the opposite sex properly. The Chanakya has taught us that when dealing with women, you see women as mother. He says this is someone who is learned, or pandita, one who has learning or knowledge, and he deals with women as mother. So there is not a sexual attraction within the relationship. It's based on respect. And if it's based on that kind of attitude, then you can deal with women quite naturally. Brahmachari can deal with women naturally. Sannyasi can deal with women naturally. A grihastha can deal with women naturally. And everything becomes normal. But when one is not properly situated, in other words, if you do not recognize your desires and you do not deal with them appropriately, you do not become purified of those desires. Here, this section is about Grihastha Dharma. Because everyone has come to this material world. And Prabhupada even said on one occasion, he says, we came to the material world to enjoy illicit sex and to eat meat. That's basically why people are here. If you give them a chance, they will have illicit sex and they'll eat meat. That's why people come to the material world. We don't come to the material world to serve God. We come to the material world to enjoy separately from God. And what is the predominating mode of material nature? We have gunas. Gunas means ropes or modes like that. The three modes of nature. Prabhupada said they're like ropes. They bind everyone in this material world. So there is sattva, there is rajas, there is tamas. But predominantly, the main guna or mode within this material world is rajas. And Krishna speaks about rajas in the Bhagavad Gita. Rajaguno samud bhava. Rajagun. What comes from rajagun? Karm. And then frustrated karm is krodh, anger. So this is the nature of the material world. Predominantly we're in the mode of passion. So you're in the material world. You wanted to leave Krishna. Hands up if you wanted to leave Krishna. Yeah, one person. The bhaktas, they understand the philosophy. Everyone's here because we wanted to leave Krishna. You say you didn't want to? No, of course you didn't. We don't want to serve Krishna now. Because if we actually, fully wanted to serve Krishna now, you would be in Goloka Vrindavan, at least in your consciousness. But the fact is, we don't want to completely serve Krishna. It's like it's 60-40, or 70-30, or 50-50, or 10-90, or whatever your percentage is. But it's not unalloyed, pure devotional service. Ahoituki, apratihata. It's not like that. Otherwise, we would be with Krishna now. There's no obstacle to being with Krishna. You can be with Krishna at this moment. You can be in the spiritual world right now. But we're not, because we still desire to serve ourselves in the material world. So we came to the material world to be separate from Krishna. And then when you come to the material world, you get overcome by the predominant mode, which is passion. Which means to be separate desires, other than to serve Krishna. And we become absorbed in those separate desires within this material world. Now, in order to cure ourselves of the disease, what is the disease? The disease is rajagun, the disease is lust. Prabhupada says lust, karma. He says that is public enemy number one. It's the main enemy of everyone in this world. We think the terrorists are the enemy. And terrorists are not the actual enemy. The actual enemy is us. It is lust, it is karma. We have a desire to enjoy separately from God. So we're in this material world. We're trying to enjoy separately from God. So the philosophy is given. If you have a thorn in your hand, so the thorn is there. So it is causing pain. Hands up if you are suffering in this material world. Oh my God. Okay, so in the material world, you are suffering. So it is pain, like a thorn is in your hand. It's painful. So everything we do in this material world causes pain. So in order to get out the thorn, you take another thorn. So the same thing which causes your pain, it can also release the pain. So, in this material world, we are caught up by the motive passion and material desires. If you use those same material desires in Krishna's service, you become purified and liberated. So the thing that causes you to be attached in this world can take you out of this material world. Just like today. It is like Gopal's garden or Gauranga's garden. So many kids here. All the kids that they're very dear to me and I'm very attached to. They're all here. I've never seen so many here, actually. So you see, many times I've seen over the years, that devotees struggle in devotional service. Hands up if sometimes you struggle. Oh, God. Okay. So we struggle in devotional service. But then I see the grihasthas particularly struggle. Right? Because when you're a brahmachari, generally if you're a brahmachari, it means you're not struggling. That's why you're a brahmachari. You're not struggling. Right? And then you change from that situation when you begin to struggle, generally. If you're struggling as a brahmachari, then something needs to be addressed. If you can't be Krishna conscious as a brahmachari or brahmacharini, then what is to be done? Everything is there. So the facility is there and you're making advancement. But then we see sometimes devotees struggle. So they get married, which is the right move. And then you see they have children. And we see when they have children and family life, deha pacha kalatradi shu, atma sanyeshwa satsvapi. Bhagavatam says, deha, the problem we have in the material world is the material body. Deha, you have a material body, which means, if you have a material body, it means you have material desires. Material desires cause a material body, a form to manifest. So we have a material body. Apacha, kalatra, adishu. So from your material body, kalatra means you get a spouse, a wife or a husband. Apacha means then you have offsprings, you reproduce. Adishu means then paraphernalia. You need so many things in order to maintain your material desires. So this is the nature of the material world. So you see sometimes the devotees, when they get married, they have kids, then they become very enthusiastic. Because then you're responsible not just for your own spiritual life, but you're responsible for someone else. The Bhagavatam says, the first guru of the child is the mother. The second guru is the father. So you become guru. Because then you're bringing the kids up, just like you're all doing. Perfectly and beautifully. You're bringing the children up to Krishna consciousness. So then the thing which causes bondage in this world, which is wife, husband, children, paraphernalia, it causes bondage in this world. That same thing is now bringing you out of the material world. Because I see many devotees, they become serious. They have kids, they get really serious. Because they realize, okay, I can't deliver myself, but at least I have to try to deliver my kids, give them the best. And then that impetus, that material desire, that leads them back to Krishna. So that's what the Bhagavatam is speaking about here. The Bhagavatam doesn't want us to get into material life. The Bhagavatam doesn't want us to reproduce. The Bhagavatam doesn't want us to get into marriage. Srila Prabhupada says, you need marriage as much as you need a material body. How much do you need a material body? Why have you got a material body? Because you want a material body. Krishna gives it to you. You want to enjoy separately? Krishna says, here is a deha, a body. Now enjoy. Go off and enjoy yourself. You want a material body, therefore you are given the material body. But it is not normal. This is abnormal to have this body. Our original situation is not with this. It's separate from this. So you get the material body, you get the material form, right? Krishna gives it to you, and now you use it to liberate yourself. So the thing which is causing your bondage can lead you away. Out of the material world. So we see this whole section of the Bhagavatam is for this point. It is to teach us Grihastha Dharma. Prabhupada said you need marriage as much as you need a material body. You don't need to get married. Right? But then we see nearly everyone in this room is married. But you don't need to, but we do it. Why? Hmm? because it leads you out of the material world. So it is a compromise, which we do, but we do that compromise to liberate us from the material world. So Prabhupada said, you don't need it, but because you have materialized, you have to recognize it. So here, Kardama, he is recognizing it. Now, the previous verse says, though seemingly attached to his beloved consorts while served by the Gandhava girls, the sage did not lose his glory, which was mastery over the self. So, generally, if you're married, you're attached to your wife, right? Is that a reasonable statement? Or you're attached to your husband. Is that a reasonable statement? All the money's gone, I'm not attached to my husband. I wish I'd never met that guy. He ruined my life. Like that. We should be attached. But we're not always, because, you know, once you get married, then it all changes. That's why it is called, in Sanskrit, what do we call it? Maya. What does Maya mean? Yeah, that which is not. Right? It's Maya. Right? Marriage looks like, right? It will give you pleasure. And then when you pass through the door, you get on the other side of the jugya, everything changes. Right? Once you throw in your banana, right, then everything changes. And it's not the same anymore. Before marriage, you know, the wife wants to serve you. Right? After marriage, then you are just serving the wife. And vice versa. The husband wants to do everything for you before you get married. After the marriage, he says, where are my japatis? So it all changes. Yeah? It's like mystical. What happened? Yeah? It's like we used to like each other 2 days ago. And now it's like... Yeah? So that's Maya. Maya means that which is not. It appears like it's one thing, but it's actually another thing. Yeah? So why does Krishna do that? Because Krishna is saying to you, Hare Baba, wake up. Jeev Jago, wake up. No, this is all false. The Bhagavatam says in the second canto, the world is a dream. You're just in dream. This is Swapna. Swapna means we're asleep at the moment. Then you wake up and that's Krishna consciousness. But what we're going through now is just a dream. And the dream gets bad or it gets good. Just like you've seen the last week. If you watch the news or you know what's going on in the world. Just bad dream. That's crazy. Insanity. Right? The dream is, and you see now because of too much Rajas and Tamas in the world, the dream is getting very volatile now. Right? Now it's all becoming very like this. Europe is falling apart. Stay in Australia if you can. Get your visa. Please get your visa. So, you know, Europe is falling apart and America is falling apart. You know, the last week we also said America, crazy things happening. Well, America's crazy every day. And now Europe also falling apart. And it will hit Australia also. You know, it'll take a little bit longer. Australia, we might be safe for another 10 or 20 years or something. But then Australia will be exactly like America and Europe. You'll see it all start to crumble and fall apart. So it is a dream. Krishna does this to you, because otherwise you would just want to stay here forever. But you see, Kardama, even though he's in the middle of the dream, he doesn't have one wife. Right? He has a wife, and then he has thousands of Gandhava girls around him as well. Now imagine if you went home. You open your door and there's thousands of Gandhava girls there. You just, oh my God. You're completely bewildered. But it says here in the Bhagavatam, even though he's in the middle of all of that, he does not lose control of his self. He is completely equipoised, completely in control of the senses. Right? So how powerful is that? Just like Prabhupada was interviewed in 1967, or very early in the movement in New York, 66 even, very early, on a radio interview. And the radio interviewer said to Prabhupada, are you self-realized? And Prabhupada said, yes. And then they said, what is the proof? And Prabhupada said, I can be in a room full of naked women and not be disturbed, but you cannot. That is self-realization. So this is Kardama Muni. He's in the middle of all of this. He's just showing us the example. That's all he's doing. Right? If you're going to have sex life, make it like this. Right? Get a palace, go into the air, fly around. Right? This is what you have to do. If you want to have sex, you have to do all this. Right? Go and fly around in the air in a palace and like that. So he's teaching us in Grihastha life. You know, do like this, do like that. But he himself, he's not attached. Even Brahma, there's an earlier pastime, a little bit earlier in this canto, where Brahma becomes attached to his daughter. What was her name? Vak. What does Vak mean? Beautiful speech. The speech of the woman is dangerous. Lord Chaitanya says in Shikshastika, Na danam, na janam, na sundarim kavitam. Sundari, what is sundari? Lord Chaitanya says in Shikshastika, Sundari, what does it mean? Beautiful woman. Kavitam, what does kavitam mean? Beautiful speech. The woman speaks very beautifully and the man just becomes like he's in a trance. Like a snake charmer. The wife speaks to you very nicely, you'll do anything. You're so intelligent. You're so strong. You're so competent. Like that. She doesn't mean any of it, but she just says all these things. You are like this, you're like that. And then you become like, oh yeah, I'm like this. And then she says, so I need a new pair of shoes. And you say, no problem. I'm so strong, intelligent, competent like that. So that is illusion. So that is called kavitam, sundarim kavitam. Lord Chaitanya says, it bewilders you. Profit, distinction, and adoration. Adoration means to be adored by the opposite. It's bewildering, it's intoxicating. So you see here that Lord Brahma, earlier in this canto, Lord Brahma was spoken, he had a daughter who was very beautiful and spoke very sweetly, very qualified. And then he apparently became attached to her. Now, what actually happened in that pastime? Prabhupada points out, Brahma wasn't attached to his daughter. And he wasn't attached to this form. But to show us how careful you have to be. It says in the Bhagavatam, it says in the Vedic teachings, even with the daughter, the mother, the sister, you have to be very careful how you deal. You have to be very careful. Because the mind can play all sorts of tricks. And you see in the world, in this day and age, you see all these things are happening. Daughter, mother, sister, all these things are taking place now. We should not become bewildered. The mind will play tricks. So you have to be careful. So the Bhagavatam is just Kardama is just teaching us. He is not bewildered. But he's teaching us, all of you be careful. Because this material world is a dangerous place. So we see that he travels to the different places in the universe. He goes to the places of the different demigods. So he's doing like a yatra, going around, flying around Mount Meru, all over the universe. And he sees Indra, he sees all these things. Actually, it describes that when you leave the material world, when we come into the material world, it describes that our universe is how big? How far across was the diameter of our universe that we're in now? How wide is Australia? From one side, from like Perth to Sydney, like how far is that? It's about 3,000 kilometres. Around about 3,000, give or take. So then, if you go around the world one time, how far is that? Like if you go around the equator one time. What's that? 56, is it? Are you sure? You think so? So 56,000 if you go around one time. So then, the whole universe, if you go like from one side to the other, is something like 311 trillion yojanas, something like that, like extremely big. But then it says our universe is covered by a layer of the material energy. So the first layer is the densest, which is the earth. And then it says that layer is 10 times bigger than the whole universe together. So you get 311 trillion, multiply that by 10, that's the Earth. And then the water is 10 times larger than all of that. And then you take all of that, the fire, and then the air, and then the ether, and then the mind, and then the intelligence, and then the biggest layer is the false ego. Why is that the biggest layer? Because when the soul leaves the spiritual world, he travels into the universe through all those layers. So you pick up all those coverings as you come through. That's why our false ego is so big. The reason our false ego is so big is we get covered by so much of it as we come in. Ahankar. So you can forget Krishna. So you get covered. So it says that when you're in the material world, when you're going back to the spiritual world, you have to go back through all the layers. And you have to see everything which is offered in each of those layers. So each of the layers, like you get ether, what comes from ether? Which are the sense objects? Sound. Like you can't see ether, like you can't touch ether, you can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't smell it, but you can hear it. Right? And then air becomes more dense. Air you can hear it, you can hear the air when it's blowing, and you can also touch it. Right? And then fire, you can also see it. And then water, you can also taste it. And then earth, you can also smell it. So it becomes more dense. So when you go back through the earth, you get all the fragrances. Do you want to go back in the spiritual world, or do you want to stay here and enjoy all the beautiful fragrances in this material world? And then you go through the water, and then all the tastes. Right, everything that you could taste in this material world. Do you want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, or do you want to stay here and have pizza? Right? Do you read in Krishna's pastimes there is pizza? You never read. It's interesting. It's interesting. Because when you read Krishna's pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Charitamrita gives a list of what Lord Chaitanya will take, prasada. But it never says pizza. So does that mean you will go back? You see, all the devotees are attached to pizza. They're crazy. Every time you go to someone's house, they give you pizza. It's like there's nothing else to eat anymore.
Just pizza, pizza, pizza.
Like that. So you'll be challenged when you leave the material world. Do you want to go back to Krishna, or do you want to have pizza? There's the choice. Right? And then you go through fire. So then you see all the attractive things you can see. And then you go through air. Right? And all the things that you can touch. And then all the beautiful sounds. So you'll be challenged as you go back to the spiritual world. And you have to be able to renounce it all. You can't go back to Krishna until you can renounce everything in this world. If you're attached to anything, then you can't go back. Indrajumna Swami, he wrote a book. He had one disciple. Her name was Brajalila. Has anyone read the book? Were you there when she passed away? In the 1990s in Vrindavan. She's a disciple from Russia. A young Mataji. She's a young devotee. And Indrajumna Swami writes about, he wrote a small book about her. So this young Mataji, Brajalila, then she got cancer. She's only a young devotee, but very sincere, very pure. So Maharaj said, go to Vrindavan, leave your body. So she went to Vrindavan, and she just spent 6 months just going to all the aartis, chanting rounds, taking breath, just fully absorbing herself. And she lost all of her material desires, became very exalted in consciousness. And then she was about to leave this world. Indrajumna Swami was in Russia. So then they rang Indrajumna Swami and they said, come, she's about to leave. But Maharaj is in the middle of a big preaching tour. So he said, very difficult for me to leave. He was trying to just give his blessings to his disciple to leave her body. But she kept asking for him. Said, no, I want to see my Guru Maharaj. I want to see my Guru Maharaj. Right? And then Maharaj is very confused. I'm in the middle of this whole preaching tour, but she keeps calling me. So he spoke to Govinda Maharaj, his godbrother, Bibi Govinda Maharaj. He said, what do I do? Maharaj said, go straight to Vrindavan. So he got the next flight, 24 hours, he's in Vrindavan. So he walked into the room. She was laying there, nearly about to leave this world, last 6 hours before she left. and everyone was just chanting, and she was just absorbed in chanting. Right? And she was effulgent, you know, ready to leave this world. She'd given up all her material desires. And then Mara said to her in the last hours, he said, "Do you have any more material desires? Is there anything that you're still attached to in this world?" And she said, "Tomatoes." She said, "I still have a desire to eat tomatoes." And Mara said, he smiled. He said, "That is nothing. Just give up that little desire and go back to Krishna." Of course, at that point, Krishna's not going to stop you from going back to the spiritual world because you have some small desire to eat tomato. But the point is, that was all, and Maharaj wrote, that was all she had to deal with. What are we going to be dealing with in the last 6 hours? It's my bank account. It's my Rolex watch. My Birkenstock shoes. My Samsonite suitcase. How can I give up all that? Do they have Samsonite in the spiritual world? Can I take my suitcase? Like that. So we're attached to things. You have to become detached. That's the point. You don't go back to Krishna until you give up your attachments. Now, how do you give up your attachments? Has anyone here given up their attachments? Some devotees have given up many attachments. So tell us how. Tell us how you're doing it. There's only one way to do it. You cannot renounce artificially. It doesn't work. You can say, "Oh, I'm going to give up this now." But if you try to renounce something artificially, you'll just think about that thing all the time. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that it's called michacha. Michacha means pretension. You're saying you've renounced it, but you're just thinking about that thing all the time. So how do you actually give it up? Krishna says in Gita, param jishtva nivartite. You have to replace it with the higher taste. So you like to take? You like to eat? Anyone here like to eat? But you have to take prasad. That's the point. Prabhupada said the first 6 months you come to ISKCON, you can eat so much that you waddle like the duck. Right? Just take so much prasad. Just satiate, purify yourself. But then after 6 months, that's it. Now it gets serious. That's spiritual life. When you're young, you can digest anything. But as you get older, you are forced to renounce. You don't have a choice. I can't eat like, you see, like in breakfast. I mean, I eat a lot. Everyone knows I eat a lot. You see breakfast, I just eat khichdi. Right? That's not because I want to. That's because I'm forced to. Because when I was young, when I was brahmachari, I used to eat, you know, breakfast was like puri, sabji, halva, pakora, sweet rice, rasgulla, khichdi, salad, milk, tea. Yeah, am I missing anything? Yeah. That's not a normal breakfast. All the people on the outside of this temple don't eat like that. And we eat like that. And you wonder when you get old why your body starts to eat very sweet. It can't digest, ingest. So we have to eat healthy. We have to eat naturally. So we gradually give up these desires. How do you give up your material desires? By dovetailing in Krishna's service. And then the material desires will go away. So Kardama is showing us here. He's in the middle of everything. Right? He has beautiful wife, beautiful palace, all these things, but he's not attached to any of it. So we also have to become like that. That takes practice. But it means you have to dovetail everything in Krishna's service. That's the process. Yukta Vairagya. So we'll stop here and see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Give up his intelligence. Doesn't mean giving it up, but it means if you read the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, then Prabhupada says intelligence is the capital of lust. So it's not that you give up intelligence, you give up lusty intelligence. That's the point. or intelligence to enjoy separately from Krishna. So we use our intelligence to enjoy. When you want to do something separate from Krishna, right, and you don't want anyone to find out, you have to use your intelligence. So you have to be very sneaky. Intelligence is very like that. So then it means you have to give up that mentality. The purified intelligence means we use our intelligence to serve Krishna. We're using our intelligence. How can I serve Krishna? How can I do things to serve Krishna? So we use intelligence in the purified way, not the material. So you renounce the lusty intelligence or the material intelligence. Is it okay? Thank you.
Thanks for the wonderful class. As you mentioned...
Speak loud.
As you mentioned about the false ego, the highest layer. So during our lifetime, how do we work on that? Like, I mean,
how do you work on your false ego?
Yeah, I mean,
giving it up?
Yes.
Purifying yourself up?
Yeah.
You just stay in ISKCON. Everyone in this room will do it for you. Now, if you've got a false ego, you just stay with the devotees. They'll get rid of it for you. Because when you're by yourself, there's no friction. But when you put one stick by itself, when you put all the sticks together, they begin to rub together and friction is like... So when you're with the devotees, you know, even like, was it yesterday or the day before? Like Manigriva Prabhu. So, you know, we do a lot of service together because we live in the forest together and, you know, a lot of times me and him. So, yeah, he said something to the other day which hurt my false ego. You know, I said something, he goes, oh, you're like this. And I was like, oh, that wasn't very nice. So, like that. But then I went away and thought about it and I thought, actually, he's my guru. Because he's pointing out a fault which is in my consciousness, which I need to overcome or work on or purify. So when you stay with the devotees, they will say things and do things and they will purify you. The friction of being with the other devotees, it purifies. And it rubs down your false ego. So at all costs, you have to stay in the association with the devotees. So you don't have to worry about your false ego. You just stay in ISKCON, everyone will. If you're puffed up, everyone will tell you. Because no one likes it. If someone's puffed up, no one likes it, so they'll tell you, they'll let you know. And Krishna will work through the devotees. The devotees will tell you. It's Krishna telling you, but he's working through the devotees, giving you indications. So you don't have to worry so much about overcoming your false ego. It will be done. If you're sincere, then it will be done. If you want to hold on, then you'll make the whole process long and difficult. But if you want to make it easier, stay in ISKCON. Sometimes I'm away from the devotees, you know, some circumstance you're away from them. As soon as you come back, you know, they start letting you know what's wrong with you. That's their mercy. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, says, one who gives you praise, he is the enemy. And one who gives you the instruction, he is the friend. So it doesn't mean that we should all only say negative things. You know, we should always say positive things, but inadvertently it will just come out naturally. Is it okay? ISKCON key? Ja. Getting rid of your false ego key? Ja. Any other question? Gopika, what is your question? Is it an actual question? What is it? I can't hear, so. How can? How can you chant nicely? In kirtan or in japa? In japa. Right? Do you like chanting japa? Do you like it? Okay. So when you're chanting japa, you are calling Krishna to come and be with you. So Prabhupada says, when you are chanting japa, Radharani and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. So when you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, you imagine that Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. They are there. And then it becomes very beautiful. And then it is very easy to chant. You think, Radha, I am with Radha and Krishna right now. So it is very nice. And then you just want to chant more and more and more. Is that okay? Very good question. Something else? Awesome. Having a GBC meeting. So. Any other questions? Oh, here it goes. Yep.
How do you be a devotee?
Say it loudly. One.
How do you be a devotee?
How do you be a devotee? Are you a devotee now?
Mm-hmm.
No. What are you? You don't know? So what is your question? How do I be a devotee? Then, who is a devotee? First you have to understand who is a devotee. Right? So who in this room is a devotee? If you look around, who is a devotee? Or you can say, if you look around this room, who is the best devotee? Right? So he is sitting over there. Right? So he is the best devotee. Right? So if you want to be a devotee, you have to follow Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada did, we also have to do, follow. So if you want to be a devotee, you just follow what Prabhupada did. And then you'll also be a devotee. You're already a devotee, but if you follow Prabhupada, you become better at being a devotee. Is that okay? Okay.
How Radha Krishna plays?
How does Radha and Krishna play?
Yeah.
What's the question? Like what games do they play? And that, is that what he's asking? You read in the Krishna book, it will tell you all these things. Krishna plays with the cows. Krishna runs around, the cows are running around. Krishna grabs onto their tails. Like that. Or sometimes one demon comes, his name is Trinavarta. So the demon comes, picks up Krishna, and Krishna flies up into the air. And he has like flying around like a aeroplane, right? And then Krishna grabs him on the neck and crushes him, and then he falls on the ground. So Krishna and Balaram, they play lots of games. Even we were reading the other day, they went to kill Danukasura. Who is Danukasura? Donkey. Where did he live? In Talava. So tal fruit. So it's like a round fruit. So the boys went into the forest, and Krishna and Balaram, they killed the demons, and all the fruits dropped, and then they used the fruits like soccer balls. So they were playing, they were kicking the fruits, and they were picking them up, and they were throwing them to each other like that. So Krishna and Balaram, they play lots of games like that. When Radha and Krishna are together, they play dice. They roll the dice like that. And then they argue. And then Radha says, "You are cheating." Krishna says, "I'm not cheating." And then there's all. So they do everything. Everything we do, they do. Is that the question? Is that okay? Okay. Also, the cowherd boys, they do wrestling. They like to wrestle. Like that. So that's good fun. So when I come home later, I can give you a wrestling match. No? I will let you win. Okay. If I'm beating you, you call your dad. And then we'll work it out. That would be awesome. Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki? Yeah.